Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's breath taken with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. I yearn to see you every morning when I open up my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight. May I sing songs of love to you transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the tip silver with the purest of ink I deliver. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love to you. Release thousands of beautiful butterflies, every colorful species of. Romantically set free from the heavens, dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes I peer in deep. Visions, hopes, dreams of. Emotions wash over like some exotic ocean. The sounds of seagulls and golden pigeons take me away to far-off pavilions. As ears well in tuned with love listens as love sings. Words of elegance and magical things. Strings, those to my heart are pulled, led by your touch. You gently touch me. I'm touched and it's tickling. Stone me, bumblebee, I'm stone. Love sick, don't heal me. Put it in a bottle and pass some out to everyone. An epidemic, let it spread in a field of roses, pink, purple, burgundy, and red. I'd lie you down and take you to bed. Kiss your precious lips softly as I tell you goodnight. Tonight's breath I take with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. Can I see you every morning when I open up my eyes? To dream of you, I yearn to see you every morning when I open my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight. May I sing songs of love to you transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the silver tip with the purest ink I deliver it. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love out loud to you. Releasing thousands of beautiful butterflies, every colorful species of. Romantically set free from the heavens. Dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes, I peer in deep. Visions, hopes, dreams of.
Temptations by Pharrell the Poet. Lovely and beautiful. Let's go to the next track. I hear my excitement. I recognize its cadence, how it feels like quickened breaths dancing across ivory keys. And as closed off as I may seem, that isn't really me. I'm almost free enough to tumble forward a little too carelessly. I just hear my misstep, sounding like an occasional B-flat. And I'm at odds with the elephant in the room. You have my attention, but I've questioned the soundness of my decision. I feel myself falter, knowing that we need to talk about this and actually address it. I'm hesitant. My excitement is notably checked, and the pounding I now feel in my chest is fear, a recurrence that I once again somehow will this if I resist the peace I find in silence. hear me. We listen, and the blending of our voices and conversation still has my heart racing, but this is just different. This is different. I hear my excitement. I recognize that I actually get to dance across those white keys in whatever the state is of my being. Acceptance doesn't insist on silencing hesitance, nor dampening another's power. It doesn't highlight mistakes. Instead, we chose a composition that highlighted us. We just needed to address the elephant in the room. Essentially, Shani.
Elephant in the Room by Essentially Johnny's. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the next track.
Let's play with this a little bit. Let's see how we can make this a little fun. Let's go.
It's my poem. The slush of Chicano's icy melting into mud as we rush with thuggy legs into hydrants that erupt like gaseous gusts. I'm a child again, filling the facades like cascading moons, spilling into landscapes, making midnight royal blue, blooming in bushels, blossoming into bosoms that grew with age. Wow. Facing the memoirs of sages as our thickly thighs get caught in the web of robust swagger and refined jawline. Checking out the dimming and juicing as we start the tan in our pubescent essence. Bashful responses, the girded cheeks with dentured expressions of her meekness. Kindred kisses kindled by a sweet to his grandeur and mannerism, the taste of manna, warm breath in the color of cream, the clouds and heaven flowing streams of rain. The rain we sought for, thunder would strike and we saw more. Dipping between the steam and bubbling with you met and hess up when we would feather into kissing doves. I could hear you like a blaring trumpet in between my seconds of transition and dream. You awaken my skin with memories of imagination, just thought of hands combing the definitive lines and curves of palms leave my troubles afar. Even share telepathic stares. The frequency of laughter, shofar stars and sunsets we are. And dwelling in agape, yeah. We are touching its womb. We are cradling its milk on our lips. We are dancing in a juniper, June. We are flaming in cool. We lift the bowls of its incense and dance. We illuminate like jade, jasper, quartz, and topaz. We are diamonds dipped in lemonade, golden with no words spoken. We are love. We are love. We are love, 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 love. We are
love. And we love. Let me tell you something. That's so agape. I'm gonna play with. Peace. Peace.
All right. Fabiola Charles. Love Fabi with agape. Let's get to that next track. We're going to get y'all on the line with us this evening.
You've got me sounding like espresso. Anxiously expressing with more fullness than I expected to. My hesitance upended as forethought is poured over everything I've said to you. We drink our coffee and pretend not to look at each other. A little foam the color of silence wants to cling to my lips, but I lick them, tasting honesty and ink, this poet's eventual hello. I call it sweet. Essentially Johnny.
Latte by Zanis. That is our final opening track this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Epiphany Network for Real Entertainment presentation, the Just Jay and Gina show here this evening. Well, we don't do features, we do interviews, and our interviewee this evening is none other than the Small House of Poetry's own Frequency. Happy Saturday. A young feeling. What's up, Just Jay?
Oh, we, Gina, we done pulled off another caper. This
I
is gonna
my
be
mom,
big.
I was like, you know, I told my mom, I said, oh my God, this is the first time I ever felt like I was at work.
I know. We got the charges for working it.
Am I doing a job right now? Yes, I am.
Right.
I love
right.
It. Happy Saturday. How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good. You know, I've been thinking about this day for a minute. He had me get out of my bag and then start doing promos and stuff like that again. I know what level he doing at. I ain't get close to that, but I was definitely inspired by what he had did in the past.
It definitely made me feel some type of way. I was like, oh my God, I suck.
Oh man. Did you hear the tracks
no,
that
I
we
think
played
that
before?
Iron sharp as iron, and we're just getting better because of each other. So I have to look at it like that. Not like I suck, but
man,
I am sharp as
iron. Look,
wherever I'm dull, y'all are sharp. So let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how family, community type stuff work. You know what I'm saying? It's many hands make the load light, is what the scripture
absolutely
basically
says. Let's go.
Okay. But I'm real excited about this thing with Free. What about the tracks that played before? What about For Real pouring that
excellent
heart out like that?
Each one was better than the last. I'm talking about, like, it was awesome. I had never been so impressed by opening tracks on a show ever as I was tonight. This was everything. Everybody was somebody we know and love.
Right. It's only going to get better, too, because we know some really good poets, and everybody's been trying to contribute to the show, you know, in their own way. It's been an honor to go ahead and play these different folks. They say, like, yeah, go ahead, play our poetry.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it so much.
All right. I tell you what, Gina. We're going to go ahead and mosey on into this thing then.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Gina, I'm about to go ahead and yield the mic to you, lady, and let you go ahead and do your thing. You know that thing you do, that thing you do best.
My thing. That thing.
I'm sure you changed it a couple of times, but we're going to rock with it. The mic is yours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Abraham Buddy, currently known as Frequency. He was born on August 6, 1983, in Liberia, West Africa, to Obina Clement Buddy and Abram Buddy Sr. As a middle child of three, Frequency and both his sisters were literally birthed into the arms of their grandmother, who raised them and miraculously kept them alive during the Civil War that began in 1989. After fleeing to neighboring countries, seeking refuge in places such as Guinea, even as refugees in a camp in Ghana, where they were given a second chance to not only reunite with his biological mother, but end up in the U.S. due to a resettlement program that began in 1983. Young Frequency was given the gift and the curse of a great memory. Finding it hard to cope or to forget his past, he resorted to self-medicating with alcohol and something as natural as oxygen. To him, that was music. From listening to striving to be a great lyricist, but hidden in plain sight in between the lines of the bars of his lyrics, he not only loved to hear, but to write poetry. From writing his first official poem for an essay poetry compilation on diversity, in which he won a $500 savings bond, he began to slowly transform from rap to poetry, which he believes is the same but different. After the alcohol and after growing up and after learning to accept the past for what it was, poetry will remain and help him rebuild, reinvent, and find himself as the brother that we now know. Along with poetry, he lives for his better half, Kiara, and their three children, Liam, Elijah, and Aubrey. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we'd like to welcome to the mic, the stage, the comfy couch here at Epiphany Radio, Frequency, our brother from Small House of Poetry. Good evening.
Good evening. I come from Forest Green Pastures. Tropical night skies, beautifully enriched with bright stars, creating silhouettes of coconut palm trees captured by warm, smiling hearts of sugarcane laughters. I'm talking postcard, picture-perfect scenery, furnished with fruitful garden-like greenery decorated with wildflowers, where sweet sighs and soothing sounds of exotic raindrops fall on zinc rooftops, inducing a trance-like calm in reverence to the majestic presence of a deeply rooted spiritual nature and essence. Where I come from. Sun-kissed people with star-bursting glow, bold, bright smiles of sunshine, sun-bathed in sunlights of love and life as natural as sun rays vast with life in all shades. We bloom blissful, rare, beautiful seeds like birds of paradise rightfully crowned by nature naturally. I come from a place blessed and enriched with heaven's gift, where beauty and culture exist in the hearts of the people, the needle of life threaded with love, like freely falling rain from above, where pride is worn and fits like a glove, where faces are distinguished like robes of wealth, decorated with riches of warm embraces, where the wind still echoes the names of faithful fallen freedom fighters and children of this land, in whispers of Nkrumah, Sankara, Kenyatta, Samura, Lumumba, Mugabe, Asantewaa, Mandela, and many more, where the soil is rich with gems and minerals, uranium, cobalt, petroleum. On precious stones like diamonds we walk, where, just like seashells, the coast is lined with ivory and gold. Like music with soul, our story is told by those who know. A continent blessed with the contents of deserving of compliments. Natural elements, beauty stitched in the extravagant fabric of elegance, where melanin dwells in abundance. Where black birds not only fly but lose themselves in sapphire skies, ruby-red hues infused with bold, captivating paintbrush-like strokes of gold. where everyday greeting is open arms, hugs, and kisses. Where beautiful black women, gentle as dew, are still strong enough to conquer the hearts of warriors and remain sweeter than mango and dreams of honeydew. I come from the brave, proud, the strong, the hearts of Nana Crew, the blood of Ghanaian, Togolese, Benin, Nigerian, Popo people, Yoruba, the mentality of a Morovian, the son of Abraham, Abina, I am West African. Blood of Africa, seed of where it all begins. Where I come from, the children of my father are enriched by the prosperous, resourceful land of my mother, constantly portrayed as poor by being robbed by those claiming rich yet spiritually poor. But the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Where I come from, God sowed the seed of earth. The civilization began. Life as we know it was birthed. From the land of kings and queens of melanated skin, I come from that one great solid rock called motherland. Nature's beautiful heart pumping life into the arteries of the world while they bite the hand. I come from Africa. I come from love. And heaven only knows just how blessed I am. Oh.
That's what I'm talking about right there, bro. If that's how we're going to be doing it tonight, let's go.
Appreciate you, bro.
No, man, we appreciate you, man. You come in full circle, man. The strength, the frequency that comes from you now, brother. This is what I'm talking about right here. This poem that you had just read, brother. With you being born born in Liberia, correct, sir?
Correct.
Was it always the proudest thing once you moved over here to America to be an African?
It wasn't always the proudest thing for me. I wish I could say it was. Being, you know, born in Liberia, everything was, at first, everything was great. Everything was fine. Life was beautiful. When you see the ugly face of war as a child, it kind of changes you. It makes you almost want to forget where you come from because of the horrific visions you get from it, right? And like she said in the bio, I was blessed. It was a gift and a curse, really, of memory. My long-term memory is crazy, so there were things that I remembered that I wanted to forget, you know what I mean? And being that the war started right around age 6 for me, that's around the time when your eyes are opening to the world. And that's what I opened my eyes to, you know? Growing up here, early on, I was trying to blend in and identify outside instead of with who I was, you know what I mean? And so it wasn't until later on, coming of age, that I really started to appreciate the fact that I am African, that I, you know, where I come from and the rich history that comes with it. And it's not just where I come from, it's my family, you know? When you start to appreciate your family and who you are, you get newfound insight of just the courage and strength needed to look at these things that you try to hide from has always been there, and you just never knew it. So,
have you thought about writing a book about your experiences, sir?
Yes, sir. I've been trying to write a book for a long time. I haven't gone back and really put myself into it, but for a while I was. And it's a hard thing to do, man, because you have to put yourself back into what you're trying to forget in order to capture it, you know, properly.
Right.
But that is something I'm looking forward to doing. I have the grassroots kind of laid out. So, yeah, man, and poetry is giving me a second chance at that, so, yeah.
Appreciate you, brother. Gina, you're my mic.
I feel like sometimes you know a person and then you don't know a person until you know a person. And the way that I came to that conclusion was I read the bios for everyone that we have an interview with. And a lot of times you don't know the ins, the outs, and the details of each poet who comes to the platforms, whether we be here on Epiphany or whether or not we are on Clubhouse. We give the same opportunity to all of the poets that grace our stage and who come to share with us. It's just like sometimes you know, and you, or you think you know, and then you find out you know. Does that make sense? So this is one of situations where, yes, Free. Like, I be thinking, my little brother, but you are so many things. There's so many dimensions, there's so many facets, there's so many nuances that are you that everybody isn't privy to. And I feel like you're one of the most, I see you regularly, yet did never felt like I got to know you fully. And then here I am in this time, in this place, in this space, that I can dig deeper into who you are as an individual, more than just the poet, more than just a man and a son or an African living in America. Nah, your whole story is amazing, beautiful, brilliant, focused, and necessary. So I'm just happy to be in a place where I can get a deeper look into you as an individual in a way that I normally wouldn't get to because we don't do this every day. Oh, yeah. This is amazing and necessary.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, no doubt, man. There's a lot of me in the pieces. And even this piece I just read, you know, they are writing this piece. It kind of took me back, of course. Like when I say sweet sighs of inducing with sweet sighs and soothing sounds of exotic raindrops fall on zinc rooftops. I mean, it's like time travel for me. You know, it's like, because it takes you back. I was there when I was writing this. I was there, you know, mentally, emotionally, hearing those raindrops fall on the zinc rooftops. And I'm talking about tropical nights enriched with bright stars. I'm there, you know. That's something that we don't experience out here as much because of light pollution. So you don't see as many stars as, you know, as you would see. And those are things that we take for granted. But writing this piece made me, you know, think back and it's like, wow, you know. I don't look at the skies as much as I used to. You know, those little things like that. But yeah, Gina, I'm all in this piece, and I'm in every single piece I write. So there's a hint of me in it. So I think if as we listen, we do get to know each other a lot better through poetry because this is what we do. So
it's a beautiful thing, Free. It's a beautiful thing. Just Jay.
Yeah. And you know what? I was thinking about what you were talking about as far as the sky and looking up at the sky. As you start to become older and you know, like that moment might not have had the impact on you did as of years later, but, you know, as you were having that moment, you looked up and there was just abundant stars up there. You know, then you go someplace different and one of the things you might notice over your shoulder is the stars aren't as abundant here. And, you know, and as time go on, of course they're not because, you know, I'm here. And, you know, time has a way of going ahead and healing things over a certain way. But you talking about going back to this peace and being actually there under that sky and seeing that that's something that you allow us to see as well. And that's one thing about your work is very visual. Your continuity is off the hook. Temporarily, as you're moving through your pieces, time is moving at a nice pace. It's not feeling hurried. It's not feeling irky and jerky. It's moving in real time, so that allows us to stay with you even through some of the things that are more intimate that you colloquially within inside of the frequency of you, the Abraham buddy of you. You know, we're able to go ahead and understand those things, probably not to the extent of you telling us about them, but at least we do understand those things on our own level and our own perception. Very dope, right, man?
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
We about to get the dough hinges off tonight. That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, I spoke of a few revolutionaries in this piece. And like I said, when you get, you know, as far as realizing how blessed I was to be from somewhere with such rich history, right? There was a lot of things I didn't know when I was growing up as far as these revolutionaries that I spoke of goes. I didn't know that they had attempted to create basically a United States of Africa. But, you know, different story, because there were some people who did not want that to happen, and it sure didn't happen, you know. So,
but you were part of that history, man.
You know, yeah.
A lot of people didn't go.
Yeah, and some of these guys, you know, when you were a kid and you hear people speak of these things and you're thinking it's a long time ago, and it's like, wow. No, it wasn't. So there's a lot of things that happened in my lifetime that I didn't know happened in my lifetime, you know. So, yeah, man, it gives you a better perspective and a better appreciation. And even greater enthusiasm to want to learn more, right? Want to learn more about where I come from. And, yeah, bro, I be... And it's all, it all comes out in the poetry. I'm sorry?
I was just about to ask you, what has that been doing for you? Because internally, we've been seeing these this resonance coming from in everything that you do, from the poetry to the doing the promotions, the video promotions, the music that you choose, the imagery that you choose for our mind to go ahead and see. How have your... a learning about where you came from, the differences in the culture as of over there to over here, the things that you experienced as a young man to the finished product that we have now. How has all that been resonating as far as you finding out more about where you came from, brother?
Man, I'm taking it all in. And if I'm honest, sometimes I'm learning on the fly as I go. You know, when it comes, you take like music. Music is huge to me, man. There was music my father listened to that I didn't even know, because my father, my father and my mother were separated, prior to the war, and any chance of reconciliation was doomed because of the war, right? So, but there were songs that I heard later on in life, and it's one of those things that you know you hear it and it just clicks, right? And I didn't know, like, I would be listening to whatever it was. Sometimes it was even Bob Marley, and my mom would be like, "That was your dad's favorite song," and from the first time you hear it, it's like, wow. There was a song called Temperance Paradise that Bob did. And it wasn't one of those famous songs, right? And I remember when I first heard it, I kept playing it over and over and over again. She was like, that's what she told me. She was like, that's where your dad's favorite song. And I was like, what? You know, I didn't know it, but it sounded familiar. So I'm saying this because there are things that are in us that we don't realize are in us until that opportunity presents itself. And as far as my poetry, the music, and you're talking about the videos, man, there are creative sides to me that I'm not sure where they're coming from. And it has to be coming from somewhere. And so that's all in the history that I come from. You know, there are things that skip generations. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm learning these things as I go. And every day, man, it's a new adventure. You know what I mean? It's another door opening. And the key for me is to stay open-minded, to stay honest with myself, open-minded, and willing to be able to put aside who I think I am and allow myself to grow, right? I think a lot of times we stand in our own way and think, oh, you know, I got this, this is me. But when you let go and allow yourself to grow, some amazing things happen. You know, I didn't think I was going to be making videos. You know, that was not my thing. That's not my thing, but it's art, man. It's another form of art. It comes out, and I'm loving it. I'm learning, and I'm growing with it. It ain't broke, don't fix it, so I'm going to keep running with it.
I know. We about to go ahead and let you know we're going to keep running with it, too. We're gonna pick your mind about this whole process of the frequency of Abraham Buddy becoming frequency and the things that you have been doing with this inner exploration of yourself, man. It's been encouraging to a lot more people than you probably realize. Hearing you speak the way you're speaking tonight is a special treat for a lot of people. I gotta let you in on a secret, bro. The phone lines are jammed. The phone lines are jammed. If y'all want to speak the frequency after he do this next poem here, we're going to go ahead and open it up for y'all. We're going to start moving down through there. 860, I see you. 540, I see you. But we're going to go ahead and start getting off into this. 347, see you. And there are some 571s in here, sir, that might concern you or something like that. But anyway, we about to get off into that, brother. Gina of the Storm People, are you there?
Sir. I am here. Hey. And with that being said, I'd like to hand the mic to my brother Frequency, a.k.a.
Oh,
it was
you got to do some station identifications and the edification.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Hold on, Freak.
Here we go.
When you start calling my name, I'm thinking, oh, God, let me put on my work hat.
No,
ladies and gentlemen,
but
welcome
you're
going to
have to
the For Real Entertainment Network here in the Epiphany Universe. This is the Just Jay and Gina Show, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be ordinary when you can be raw?
With that being said, sir, the mic is yours.
Yes, sir. All right, so speaking on the finding of oneself, growing up, there was a lot of anger and hatred I had. And it was all misunderstandings. It was growing up without a father, of course. And there were times, I mean, I love my father, but there were times when just that bittersweet, you know, that I love you, but I hate you mentality. And so This piece is kind of a conversation. What I would want to hear from him, what I believe, you know, because I say this and then I get into the piece. I believe as a parent, no one really wants to walk away from their children. And for the longest, I believe my father walked away from us, but he didn't. And it was always evident that he didn't, but kid, you don't know these things. So, this is again, coming of age, growing up and finding yourself and allowing yourself to go through these changes and allowing yourself to realize things aren't always the way you see them, right? They're not always what you want them to be because it feeds whatever emotion or whatever motive you have, right? So this is a conversation between, not necessarily a conversation, but you guys should get it. Son, I saw the many nights you stayed awake thinking, why? Has held back tears of how come he left burst and explode in million pieces of frozen sorrows. I felt the soul bruising blows and soul of your fatherless moments of misery masquerading as misfits and mental escapades of anguish when you mourned me in the death of a relationship for which you wholeheartedly once wished did come to exist but evidently just never did. And so like sculptures made from ice caps, I watched as the monumental image of a man you loved, imitated, and mimicked died, fade, become confiscated by time, space, and newfound answers to your questions, like clouds of smoke laced with rage. I watched you lose me to find you as I melted under a beaming sun in the afternoon of your growth and adolescence. Son, you as a boy would see the face of he who you believed left, and for whom you lost respect in mirrors of echoes reflected and amplified by the very actions of the shadow you seem to find yourself confined to, me. The lonesome void, as you did, in empty tears of triggered blues turned anger, you finally decided to let pour down your face, leaving you with blurred visions of yourself and I. Son, like an abandoned ship, aimlessly journeying with the desire to hold fast to rapid winds, the chance of our relations floated adrift in ocean and abyss of never again would you look in you to find me. My absence ignited your skies with strikes of lightning. I heard the inner cries in waves that crash on falling skies. The echoes of your silent screams were stones cast at the fracture break and destroy the distorted version. And the visions of me you saw, which served as torture to the souls of both yours and mine. Thousands of miles near, I stood there, reflecting in mirrors of echoes, as you did. Imagining the man my boy would grow to be, accepting the hatred he's gained from me. I've had conversations with you in my mind as I pull my soul in words to which I'm confined, in hopes they find, reach, and echo the halls of your very being like a long-awaited sigh. Believe me, if only I knew the last time I saw you would be the last time I see you, only heaven knows the strength it would have taken to make me let go. But from the many mistakes I've made, who knew the worst would be something out of my reach, leaving you to live the life you lived without the oversight you needed as a man, leaves me with the only thing left to hold, hope, and prayer that God must and does have a plan. I failed you. And for that, I apologize and pray you forgive me. I wish you freedom from the pain of me. I wish you peace from the bondage and shadows of me. I know everywhere you go, they speak of me. They see you in turn, they see me. So I will let go. I will no longer stand there in mirrors of echoes. I will not reach within and imagine the sound of you in the voice of me, from laughter's cries and silent grins. No more will I speak and hope they echo the halls of your temple. I will let go the vibrations and visions of your essence in words and sighs that whisper and shine within my being like mirrors of echoes from the only son of mine. I will say goodbye, so you no longer have to look in the mirror and not see you but me. Wait. Dad. Pop. You know, as strange as it sounds to say, I want you to know I've grown. So much from that boy you carried on Lean Street behind City Hall in Monrovia. That boy you placed atop of the world of your shoulders. A boy who would hang on to a moment in time and remember, though life goes on, and certain bits and pieces of memory may fade, an experience worthy enough like that endures a lifetime of refusing to let go, as you did, to ensure I didn't fall. You two have never fallen from atop the shoulders in my world of memory. You weren't there, but I like to believe the voice of reasoning I always heard echoing within was yours. The presence felt as I stood there, staring my own reflection in the mirror, like dreams of a stranger who seemed so familiar with eyes like mine were yours. Although we stand on opposite ends of perspectives, I cannot help but share your sentiments, which in turn gives me strength, understanding, and an even greater appreciation for the blessings of time I have with my children. Sometimes I even see my son as me and me as you, and for a moment a lifetime of dreams came true. But as abruptly as it begins, it ends, and I'm awakened by words never heard uttered from me to another. Dad, my son says, why are you just staring and smiling at me? Laughing, living, loving life. Heaven only knows what I do to trade places with him, but wouldn't. Listen, this was never our fight. I don't blame you. I did for a long time when I was young and a long way from a grown mind. You see, God did and does have a plan. That abandoned ship, once left aimlessly drifting away, docked on the bountiful shore of heaven only knows. The boy aboard became a man. He built a life with stones of broken dreams. Once casted at mirrors reflecting the beliefs that everything happens for a reason, he learned to speak life with words that echo the halls of his temple. He took and used his pain to paint the mirror the colors of poetry. His children are the spitting image of him and therefore the spirit and image of you. So although it seems we're a lifetime apart, we're inconceivably near and forever standing there with you, reflecting in mirrors of echoes. Oh.
I just let that one breathe, Jay. I know, right?
I know. How cleansing was this poem for you, brother?
You said how, what was the word?
How cleansing was this poem for you? Because there were certain points in there where I heard you speaking in your dad's voice. So for you to go into his headspace and do this piece from, you were aligning your thoughts with him. I know that all throughout your life you've been said to be having these attributes of your dad. And I imagine that that went ahead and filled in a lot of the blanks on how he would have taken things or the things that you liked, that he liked, the resonating, the frequency, the hard wiring of your dad and also of your people from over there in Liberia. You tapping into that, man, that's all resonating with everybody. The name frequency is very fitting, sir. What was it like to go ahead and write in your dad's a voice?
It was, I mean, it was easy, but difficult at the same time, and I'll tell you why. The words came easily, but to see it, right, because when I'm writing, I see what, you know, I'm trying to write. To see it required, and mind you, these are things that I didn't live, so it's not like a memory. So it's creating it in the mind that was the hard part, because it's something that you didn't experience, and then it's something that for a long time it's something you didn't even want to acknowledge, you know. So for me, this was therapeutic. This was very much so therapeutic. And it's something that I couldn't hide from, something that I have to face regardless. Look, like I said, everything I did, just like your father. Didn't matter what I was doing, just like your father, right? And I now know what was that like. Man, I thought it was a bunch of bull. I mean, I thought it was here.
How do I walk like this?
Yo, genetics is something crazy, man. Genetics is insane, bro, because...
Yes, sir. The hardwiring, brother.
Yeah,
the
man.
Stuff you can't get away from, the stuff you don't have to learn.
You can't, man, and I see it today because it's with my kids. You know, my oldest is 9 now, so and Elijah, our middle son, is 3. So you got 6 years in between. For 6 years, it was just Liam, it was just him, right? So I used to watch him a lot, you know, look at him, and everything in that piece was real. When I say sometimes I look at my son and think of him as me and me as you, that's real. And it happens without even thinking sometimes because there are things in conversations and those little moments that we would share, and I'm looking at him like, no idea how much I used to want to do this. You know what I mean? Like that's what I wanted to do. So I get to live vicariously through my son. I get to experience filling in the gaps, man. I get to yeah. So this piece and it's one thing to live that, but it's another thing to go back and address your own issues, which is what I was doing with this piece. And in the piece, I said, heaven only knows if I could trade spaces with him. But if I could, I wouldn't. And there's a reason I said that. As much as I would want to, because, you know, it's kind of like Back to the Future, right? You change one thing, everything changes.
Right.
You know, so what would I have to give up? You know what I mean? What would I have to give up? And everything does happen for a reason, you know. I'm a believer of that today. And... you know, this piece, and the voice in which I'm speaking is my father.
This is,
of course, I don't know if it's if this is what the man was thinking, you know, but as a father.
Apparently, somebody said you are everything that he knows. So I would go with your interpretation, brother.
As a father, right? You would. That would be my thought. You know what I mean? That would be my perspective on things. And being, because as much as I went through, and this is I'm just speaking on me. I'm not speaking on my sisters. I'm not speaking on my mother. This is just me. So there's a lot of different perspectives on this thing. But from my perspective, if I was seeing these things, I was having these emotions, and I was longing to meet my father, it's only logical and humane to believe the same thing is going on with him. And that's why the piece is called Reflections. Reflecting in Mirrors of Echoes. Reflecting in Mirrors of Echoes. And I'll tell you this, I used to say it myself in the mirror a lot. And I remember the day when my father died. My father passed. He passed in Liberia. He's 11 years old, 1995, January 5th, 1995. My mother sat us on the couch and told us his father passed. And I didn't believe it. Denial. Normal part of grief. I didn't, you know, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. So much so that I really didn't believe it. And what I did is I got up from the couch, left them on there crying, and I walked into the bathroom. I shut the door and I stared at myself in the mirror for so long. Until it got blurry, I didn't see anything. Because I was always told you look like your father, this and this. So I was trying to see the man. You know, I just stood there and stared at myself in the mirror.
Bro,
I didn't cry.
I tell you what, hold on one second before I soak up all of Gina's time and she had to book a flight to go ahead and put foot to, yeah.
To come put the foot up, yo.
Right. She say she fight. I don't know. I ain't never found out. I don't want to find out. So.
You don't want to find out. No. You know better.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay. What did you have to say?
Check your messenger as well, too. I yield my mic.
I did. My question for free would be, can y'all hear me? Because my phone's just connected.
Oh, yeah. We can hear you.
Who?
I can hear you.
I like to know this, and this is horrible for me because as the only daughter that my father had, people always say, oh, my God, you look just like your dad. You look like your father. And how does that make you feel if people see him in you?
I don't know. I find it I like it. I love it. How much do I look like the man? Look, all right. There was a guy, when my older sister graduated, I believe this was when she graduated with her master's, and we had a party for her, right? And there was an African party going on, and there was this guy there. This guy just kept staring at me, and this, just staring at me. And I didn't, you know, it was weird. Anyway, we left and came home later on. And when I got home, when you walk through the door, you come around the corner, the first thing you see when you look down the hall is the dining room table. I came through the door, walked around the corner, And the person sitting at the dining room table staring straight at me was the guy. The guy's name was Raymond. He grew up with my father. And he just kept losing his mind. Even when he was talking, he knew the face looked familiar. But he couldn't place it. And I don't know how long it's been since this guy saw my father, so that's how much I look like my father. I remember we talked, and while I'm talking, he'll just be staring at me with his mouth wide open and like, you even sound like him, and slapping his knee, and you know, so I look exactly like my father. And you know, when everyone tells you, like I said, man, it's the minute, the tiniest things that you wouldn't even think about, the way I chew, the way I walk. I was dancing with my aunt once, and my mom, she and my mom looked at each other and just started laughing. And my mom started yelling, I told you he looks just like his dad, everything just like his dad. So, and I never saw the man dance, so, you know. But it gives you a sense of belonging, a sense of pride in how strong the genes is, I guess. Because I look at my kids and I'm like, "Whoa, genes are strong. Genes are strong." You know, it's bragging rights. It's bragging rights to it. I say that. But yeah, man, it lets you know that you're connected. Very much so connected. You know, I don't know much of my father's side of the family, but they're huge. They're huge. My mother's side is huge. So, it gives you a sense of pride and belonging.
I love that. That's a beautiful answer. You know, the funny thing about it is sometimes you don't know it's your mannerisms. A lot of times people think it's just how one looks, but sometimes I see my daughter walking like her dad. And if anybody in the family says, oh my gosh, you're walking just like your father, she'll get angry. She shouldn't, though. That's half of her DNA.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. I mean, our kids look like both of us. I wouldn't admit that, you know, when you say that. She might be on the call, but I'm still going to deny it later on. But they look like both of them. If you ask me any other thing, they look like me. You know,
right.
There are little things that you can see, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And sometimes, like I said,
every now and then
it's like, characteristics.
Whoa.
You know, it may not be a dimple or a widow's peak or some other thing genetically that's passed down through families like freckles or whatnot. But sometimes it's just mannerisms. The way one, you know, holds a coffee mug or, you know, like I said with my daughter, the way that she walks. If you catch her on a day that's been long and she's tired, she legit walks like her dad. And I'm like, ooh, she would be so mad if I said something. And then I didn't have to say it. Somebody else did. And I'm like, see, I was thinking it. But, yeah, that's genetics, and it's beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. But, what I was saying was in that moment, I did not cry when my father passed until like a year later. Because like I said, I was always in denial, right? It was a year later. My youngest, we were somewhere, and I walked through the door of my aunt's house, and they said it again, you know. Your voice started changing. It's like, wow, you know, just like a father. And this. And my younger sister started crying. And I remember, this was in Reston, Virginia, Soapstone Drive. And I remember I said, why are you crying? And in my head, I've always had the belief that one day I'll meet him. One day I'll see my father, and, you know, one day. And the words were about to come up. What are you crying about? Hey, like, you ain't going to ever see. And it hit me. You ain't never going to get to meet your father. And that's when the tears just poured down my face. With that and the war and trying to forget that, I took to self-medicating. And for a while, for a long time, and I, you know, started to abuse alcohol and act up in school. But it's all part of it was all part of my journey. And I'm glad where I am today, I can actually say that and be okay with that because it's a part of my story. It's not, doesn't dictate who I am, you know, so, but, yeah, that was a pretty significant part of my life. And getting this piece out was necessary. That's very, very, very necessary. And not only...
I love that. I love the fact that you recognize that.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't... People can relate to this piece not because it has to be, oh, my dad wasn't there, or, oh, I miss my son, or... And it's just about putting yourself in someone else's shoes when you really want to... when you want to hate them, when you it's best when it happens in real time, but it doesn't really happen. Better late than never. You know, I could still be up here salty and, you know, my dad F this, but, you know, once you put yourself in somebody else's shoes and realize, dude didn't know there was going to be a war. Country, so these are things that the young frequency, the young Abraham would not have looked at, you know, but here I am, and here we are discussing it. So I guess this brings me to another piece, if you guys are ready for another piece.
Yeah, I'm going to hand off the mic to my partner in crime and rhyme, just Jay, so that you can let's listen
to this
other piece. All right.
Yeah, before we jump off into the next piece, we got to get a couple of these people in here. Like I said, you have some jam club lines in here.
Oh,
brother.
Yeah, that's right.
People came in here to see you, man. I would not. I got to walk out to my car, bro. You can't be doing me like that, man. Hold on 1 second. All right, 540, we're bringing you in. By the way, if anyone wants to come in, you have to press 1 to raise your hand to go ahead and speak the frequency. This part of the show is now open, so we'll be talking back and forth with the brother. 540, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you? How is everybody?
Ooh-wee.
Frequency.
This is a special treat.
You gotta
look
at crying. I think that was a beautiful tribute and a beautiful conversation about your dad. And I always find it interesting when we come to, as we get older and we become adults, find out things, the importance of looking from a different point of view than our child's eyes. From my childish eyes. Mm. And I think you did a great job with that piece. You know, because there's some things that you as an adult, you now come to understand what your parents might have gone through to some degree. Because a parent really ever want to unload, they never want to unload on their child what they're going through because they don't feel that's their child's load to carry. A lot of parents. I can't say all parents. But you have me over here, tears rolling down my eyes. I thought that was beautiful. It's the understanding. And I can understand. You can have the bragging rights. If you can look at your child and say, he looked just like me, act just like me, go for it. What can a mother do? Because a mother, what can a mother do? Because it's the truth. That I looked at them. They look like you. That gene is strong. And if you carry that gene and everybody think you look like your daddy and you carried it off and gave it to your kids, what can you do? Pump your chest.
Right.
Bang
right.
on in the face. They're mine.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know something, Madonna, you've actually helped me with doing pieces like these. I wasn't doing anything deep. Ramadana came in and started, I mean, you jumped off the deep end with the quickness. So that makes you think and say, wow, you know, there are certain things I need to be talking about. So this is part of, you know, I don't know, in a way you kind of made this progress because you helped me push my pen to this level. I seriously remember having a conversation with Wallace when I met him in person out here, and I remember saying there's a lot of things I have that I, you know, to write about and to speak about that I haven't done yet. And the brother said, in due time, when you're ready, you will. So, yeah.
And that's it.
When I started writing, that was my
time. Your time is now, you know, and your process coming from, you know, can you talk, you started off with the hip-hop background, and now, and you emerged into this. How did that process go for you? Was it a difficult change, or do you still find yourself incorporating some of your hip-hop background into it?
I do. I incorporate some of them. I don't have a choice but to. The transition is crazy, and I didn't say was crazy. It is crazy, but it's still there. At times, I'm still in that cadence. I have to change the cadence of my flow. And Jared knows when I first came in here on Clubhouse. When I first went to Clubhouse, I was stuck in that flow. You know, I just and it drove me crazy. All I wanted to do was write a poem, but that rap cadence would kick in without even thinking about it. Or I would write it and I still try to spit it and recite it as if it was a rap flow. But other than that, I was always listening to poets. I just didn't, you know, they was just on there with rap. I listen to a lot of Nas, I listen to Pac, listen to a lot of reggae music, there's a lot of poetry and all, and I'm saying people who can paint you a picture with their words, right? Not every rapper's a poet, you know, I'm gonna say that, first of all, not every rapper's a poet, you know, you have some rappers that are poets. One of which, Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill sparked my pen, man. I was always a fan. When I heard Lauryn Hill's The Unplugged, the MTV Unplugged, and then her album, yo, that's poetry. That is, woman is a poet. When I first heard Mystery of Iniquity, There's War in the Mind, I was like, yo, that's what I'm trying to do right there. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, I even wanted to learn to play the guitar. You know how well that would have went? I had the locks. I was like, yo, I'm going to learn to play the guitar.
You had locks.
Oh, yeah, I had locks.
I would have loved to have seen a picture of that.
Mom and Dad, I was ready to go. I was like, I'm halfway there. I got the locks. Little did I know,
You should have been with the locker and strumming a guitar. Okay.
right. But yeah, the transition was it's something that's still in process. And I have a lot of people to thank on Clubhouse who helped mold my pen. And my boy John on here. I got a homeboy who's clearly listening. He just sent me a text. How you gonna try to distract me, bro? He sent me a text talking about, you ain't no Lauryn Hill. I ain't there, Lauryn Hill. This guy. I got you, John. But that's my man, yeah. Those are the people that really I looked up and was like, you know what, that's what I want to do, you know, especially Lauryn Hill, which is crazy because I'm a huge Pac and Nas fan, but Lauryn Hill did it.
That's my one question, because, you know, I know the phone lines are lit up and they want to question you, and I'm not going to try to hog all your time because I could talk to you anytime. All right?
Appreciate you, Mama Donna.
Hey, we appreciate
Turning
you, Mama Donna. Hang
over
around for the speed run.
Yep.
All right, appreciate you. All right, we have 860 coming up. Let's go ahead and see what 860 has to add to the conversation. You might know these people, man. You might know. So I recognize some of these area codes. Sir.
Hello?
Yeah, you in, bro. Do you know this guy Frequency, sir?
I wasn't sure you was talking to me. My bad. I didn't realize I got all muted. I only look a bit. I mean, he just actually shouted me out about something I said to him when we met. So,
oh, you got
your
hand up, so it's liable to go ahead. And plus I said 860.
Yeah, like I said, I actually didn't hear. I had my earbud out for a minute. So I missed that. Well, man, great interview so far. Y'all doing a great job. The poetry, obviously, is always phenomenal. Free, I would ask you this.
Yes, sir.
When exactly did you start doing that? This is the thing you do, right? It's either in your first 2 to 3 lines where you make them so densely packed. It's a lot of syllables. It's a really, like, condensed. It's almost like the thesis statement, though, of your poem. Where you, it's a rhythm you write in. Where do you think you picked that up?
Man, I'm not sure. I think I was always told, and this was even by teachers. And it's funny, I think you mention the word thesis? Because
yes, I did.
So writing was always easy for me. You know, in class you get those assignments, write this essay and whatever it was, and everybody would be, for me, I was like, all right, cool. That's right. But I was told always you want to catch people's attention in that opening sentence, in whether it's that opening sentence, whether it's your thesis, because that's where you're going to either keep or lose people. Even when it comes to rapping or whatever it is, if that first, when you're opening if it's flimsy, oh, yeah. And I know it because I listen to music, and when you hear that opening line, it's like, no pass. You know? So I don't know if that's exactly what did it, but I like to believe it is. I think you do have to come out strong, man, as far as it, and it's not done on purpose. That's what's crazy. It's not done on purpose. It's not like I sit down and I'm like, I'm gonna, I think over time, it just kind of manifested itself into what it is now. The idea of catching people's attention was there, but it's not like, okay, I'm going to practice dense, you know, this dense line. It was just more so, I want to say something prolific, if you will, right? And it doesn't have to be packed in there, but you're right, man. Evan, you always been telling me this, too, from jump. I think you...
You're the one who's telling me this before I really even start looking at it. So, hey, man, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm glad I picked it up. I listen to a lot of different music, and I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it as well.
All right. So, how, I mean, you know, we've known each other about, man, it's almost a year and a half now, right, since both coming on the Clubhouse and, you know, running around those streets and, you know, we did get to meet face-to-face, sat down and broke bread, all that. But how has the experience on Clubhouse modified the way you write now, even up to your degree of how much you edit? Because I remember we discussed before, you were an editor, right? You're one of those people who go back, you kind of tinker with, you go over and over and kind of flip and change things around. Are you still a heavy editor, or have you grown more accustomed to having your pieces completed with less editing?
All right, so let me start off with the first part of your question. How has coming to Clubhouse enhanced or changed my writing? I've learned from a lot, everybody on Clubhouse, really, especially us in the Small House of Poetry, right? Because, of course, you know, we'd be in the den, building each other up, discussing not only poetry, but regular life situations, regular whatever you could think about. We'd be having these in-depth conversations. All of that inspires the pen, and if it's boosting, it's boosting brain cells like crazy. So of course my pen's gonna be growing. You know what I mean? I'm sitting around talking with people who are talking about things that really matter. And what do we write about? We write about things that really matter. So it's going to sharpen the pen. You know, there are things that I've adapted from each and every one on Small House of Poetry. And you're asking the question, you're someone who don't edit. I've learned to not be so much. And it doesn't happen as often. But there are times when I'm writing and I'm conscious of it. I'm like, no. Just let that be and write. You know, because you know me, I write a line, and I'll focus on that line until it's perfect, and then I go, on. But it's getting better. It's getting better with time, as far as the editing. But if you ask me, and I know I share the same sentiments with a lot of people who write, a poem can always be changed. It's like a painting; you can always go back. And if you don't like something on there, dip that brush in the ink, in the paint, and touch up on it a little bit. Likewise with writing. I have things that I've written that's been with me for years, and out of nowhere, a line will hit me, and I'll be like, oh, it goes there. Never knew it before, but it goes there, right? Or I come up with these one-liners, and I would write them in this. I got a folder of nothing but, like, lines that sound dope, but I don't have anywhere to put them. And I'll be writing, and sometimes it could be a finished piece, and I'll be like, you know what? This line goes in there. And if it doesn't fit and I want it in there, I'll make it fit, which means I got to go back and rewrite a whole bunch of stuff. But that's the nature of an extreme editor, if you will. I am, man. I am. I'm always working on the piece, but it is getting better when I'm conscious of it. You know, it's one of those things. It's a learning experience for me. I'm learning and I'm growing with this. So I appreciate the question, man. I don't know if I answered it, but you there?
You answered the question. Of course you did. Yeah, I'm sorry. You definitely answered the question. I mean, I ain't gonna take up too much of your time. I know y'all got a line full of people What else are you looking for here? Is it just to talk to the poet real quick, or are we doing poetry?
Wait a minute, sir. Before you get out of here, Grace, you got to let us know who you are and what do you do, sir?
All right, no problem. I am Wallace D. Elder Reed. I am a founding member of the Small House of Poetry. I'm a, you know, activist, a coach, a writer, a poet, spoken word artist, voiceover artist. Oh, man, I don't know what else you could say, you know. Member of the Dread, founding member of the Lost Tribe of Poets. I mean, poetry is my thing, but, you know, Small House is my heart. You know, we do a lot, and we build a lot, and I'm glad I'm on here right now with my Small House family. We run rooms 3 days a week over there on the clubhouse app, and look out for more stuff from us.
Hey, we appreciate you, man. And yeah, you were there day one, man. We appreciate everything that you have added to the Small House, brother. That is for real, from the bottom of the heart. All right, we have a few more calls,
man. I keep crushing this interview.
Take care, brother. All right, we have 954. 954. How about you? 5-4, sir. How about you? You got to come off of mute. I know you is monologuing. I think that's Uncle right there, y'all. 8-9-5-4, we'll come back to you, sir. All right, this is a familiar area code. 571, how about you?
Hello. I do not have a question, but this is Abraham's sister dying.
How are you?
I just wanted to say that last. I'm dying in his younger sister.
Okay.
I've been listening from the beginning. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was just saying, how are you doing, ma'am? And welcoming you to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. I think it's a slight delay, but anyway, I just wanted to say I've been listening from the beginning, and I've heard a lot of my brother's poems, but this last one, it really touched my heart, and great job on the poem, and keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Do you mind if we have your name, or did you want to keep it anonymous?
Diamond.
Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nice to meet you, Diamond. As far as the guy Frequency tells us about, we've never seen this guy. But the places that Frequency has been at, how different is that a man from the man that's here now?
Wow, night and day, night and day. always been a good-hearted person, even when he was, you know, drinking back then. He was always had a good heart, but. The man that my brother is now is crazy because we've seen him go through a lot of struggles. We all have, but I think his was a little bit more visible due to the drinking. And once he turned his life around and, you know, when his oldest son, Liam, started to, you know, get a little bit older, I think when you're struggling with, you know, internally with certain battles on your own and I don't have kids, but I'm around my nieces and my nephews a lot. When you see those little ones looking up to you, I think that was one of the turning points for him. And, you know, he's a great father. He's a great brother, a great son. He's a good guy. And I think he was standing in his own way a lot with the drinking. But yeah, completely night and day.
Do you have a better understanding of him because of his poetry?
I think so. We're 2 years apart, so a lot of, like, the music that he listened to growing up, I listened to as well. And, you know, as a younger sister, especially with the age gap so short, a lot of the music that I enjoyed, I learned from him. You know, I became a big Pac fan, a big Lauryn Hill, Fugees fan. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that answer the question that you're looking for, but yeah, he's.
Yes, ma'am. That actually did. And I appreciate you giving us this extra insight to little brother. Is there anything else that you would like to go ahead and add to this? I know your mind probably has been running wild with the different little smaller things that have been going on. You probably can't retain a percentage of it. But is there anything else that you wanted to go ahead and leave with a buddy before you leave, Abraham?
Just like I said earlier, continue to do what you do. You are great at it. I feel like it. You know, writing poetry comes like second nature to him. And even when we have, you know, like family events, everybody wants him to write a poem. And just, my uncle just recently got married and he did a poem for the wedding, you know. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but I did see a clip of him reading his poetry at the ceremony. And just continue to do what you do. You are great, very talented. I don't know if you guys know that he's also an artist as well. He paints, he draws. So, you know, this is like, I think it's like full circle. And he's just going to keep on growing and getting better.
Hey, I appreciate you. I'll have that money to pay you later on. You did a good job.
You guys are crazy. But
I appreciate you.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Diamond, for coming in. That was everything. All right. We're going to try 954 again. 954, sir. What's the fizzle? Oh, man. You might actually have to hang up and call back in. You might have got caught up on a switch line or something like that. Hang up. Actually, anybody who's listening online, you have 27 minutes to go ahead and call in. After 27 minutes, the Blog Talk lady cuts you off. She may actually cut us off, so we're actually running in the hurry-up time clock to try to go ahead and get everybody in, and on top of that, to beat the clock. But if we get some extended time after the two-hour time period, then we're definitely down with that. All right, 954, you probably want to call back in, sir. I'm about to put you back on hold. If you get a chance, I'm going to check back with you. All right, we have 732 here. 732, how you holding up?
I'm doing very well there, Jared. How are you? And what's in your cup?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have a celebrity in the house.
Apparently, he doesn't pay attention to the chat, Scott.
Well,
or he would have known that was you.
Oh, did I miss something?
Doing very well tonight. Doing very well tonight. And I love the interview y'all got going on with Frequency. I came in a little late, but I'm still been blessed not only to hear some of his pieces, but some of the questions y'all have been peppering him with. Huge fan of Frequency. Have a deep respect for his pen, his person, and the family man that he is. So it's an interview well deserved.
Thank you, Scott.
So being here for the first time and getting to see how y'all do what you do, you two partners in crime over there, do I get to ask the feature a question?
Yes, sir. Please do. That's why. I mean, that's why we open up.
You wouldn't.
Sir. We know that I do it better than you.
You wouldn't be Scott if you didn't have a question, Scott.
Oh, I got a question for you, sir. You talked a lot about Japan, your style, and different things and aspects of your life. I've always looked at you as a humble individual, and one who I am just taken by your life story and journey. Coming to you from the family man position that you speak of so much, let me ask you this, especially with that piece you did about your father and talked about your background. How do you as a father pass the wisdom that you have learned in your life from your life experiences on to your children without imparting to them the pain that you experienced?
I think by through actions, right? Through actions, it's easy to tell someone, and it's easy to tell someone anything, but to show them. It's another thing. That means you got to be on your P's and Q's all of the time. instead of do as I say and not as I do, I have to be able to, you know, say do as I do. And without imposing the trauma, and I'm at the place now, and I think collectively we are, where somewhat we are, you know, children are allowed to make mistakes. And, you know, we don't like to be, what do they call it, micromanaged. And I think it's only doing children a disservice to be like a helicopter over them, right? Because what do they do when you're not there? You know, it's okay to be there and help, but I think it's more important to allow kids to try to figure some things out for themselves. And because there's a lot of things I had to figure out. But there aren't any bullets flying over. There aren't, you know, they're not eating one meal a day because of a war going on that you got to live over. So I think the best way would be to lead by example and to allow them to make mistakes. I come from a big family, and they, you know, there's always somebody around. And it's great to have positive people around. You know, we don't have loose cannon hanging around us. So I think they're in a good environment, and I'm in the right mind state to be able to demonstrate what they should be following. Yes, sir.
I appreciate you entertaining that question and offering the answer you did, sir. I heard that the host saying they're on borrowed time, so I won't take much more up because you know I can always have a follow-up with a follow-up with a follow-up.
Oh, yo. Scott,
you're
the man when it comes to questions, boss.
Listen.
But I appreciate you, man.
Be on guard when I come around and someone's being interviewed. I'm just saying. But, sir, just know you are well-respected, for the character of who you are, even more so than your pen, and your pen is lethal enough as it is.
That's love, Scott. Appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
And
we appreciate you there, Scott. Scott is has been on the AM drive with us for a while. You know, Scott, he came in like his just being a real good dude and kicking it with us in the audience. And next thing you know, we had gave him a part on the AM drive. Scott kills it, too. Scott kills it. His character is off the hook. I need to get
Scott is a whole
text,
Scott is a whole vibe. Scott is a whole vibe. He's a sub-show on the show.
He's a paradox, I tell you.
I appreciate y'all letting me come and play with y'all. I really do. It's a great way to start out my week. I'm sorry I couldn't be there last week, but I will be there this week. And as we're, if I'm not mistaken, we're supposed to introduce ourselves and say what we're a part of. I am also one of the founding duos of Partners in Rhyme, who hosts Lyrical Vibes on Clubhouse for at least the last 3 years. I do that with Malikia K. Courtney, Lady Molotov, and I am known on the app for my poetry as Father Time. Thank y'all for letting me come out and play with y'all tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This has been killer. Hey, Scott, you always add that value, man. We will be looking at you guys in the future, man. Where can they find you at, Scott? That's what I was trying to go ahead and blunder around and say. Where can they find you at? Doing what?
Okay. Well, there are several things that I do with poetry and outside of the short version. Understood. First of all, you all can find me during my 9-to-5 at my website, www.harrellconsultinggroup.com. That's H-A-R-R-E-L-L. I am the owner and founder of this business consulting firm where we take care of all of the business that gets in the way of your business. And our fastest growing arm is business funding. Also, you can find me in the clubhouse streets doing the poetry thing every day, if not every other day, but mostly on a Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Lyrical Vibes, brought to you by Partners in Rhyme. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, brother. Like I said, we appreciate you coming out, sir. All right, we're going to try this 954 again, see what's going on in here. 954, do we have?
Hey, can you hear me?
No, we cannot hear you.
Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Jerry, don't do that. Don't do that, Jay. You make
me
feel some type of way.
Man, I was fighting to get in here. What's up, man? Frequency, man. This has been dope. You know what I'm saying? I got a message for you, though. I just wanted to say that I am Abraham. You are Abraham. If you want to see me, look into the mirror. You can see me anytime you want to see me. I was beating my drum. I heard a rapper in the bushes. All right. Frequency, man. You know you are so dope. I've always told you, man, that you you didn't realize the potential and the power that you had. I've always said that, man. And to see where you are right now, man, is a beautiful thing, man. God bless you, man, and what you do, man. I agree that that was a very powerful piece about your dad. You know, I, too, get the same thing about my dad. I tried to use my dad's driver's license, you know, because we look so much alike. It didn't work, but, you know, yeah. That identification is there, man. Yeah. It didn't work. You know, the years didn't match. But, yeah, man, it was beautiful. I was here for the whole thing, you know. The Wi-Fi kept throwing me out. I couldn't unmute, right? I don't know. But it was a blessing to hear this, man, to hear the growth in you from the first time I met you. And keep doing what you're doing, bro. Keep doing what you're doing. We need to hear more of you out here. Yeah.
Thank you, Whispers. It's a blessing to hear you say that because we all know.
Yes, man.
I mean, Timothy Whispers is a monster on the mic, yo. Yeah, bro. So I appreciate you. That means a lot.
Oh, man, no doubt, man. I don't want to hold up the time because I know we're running out. You know what I'm saying? I am Timothy Whispers. You can find me. I am one member of the Small House of Poetry, and you can find me on Instagram under Timothy Whispers Flame, Facebook, Timothy Whispers, and anywhere that somebody's doing some damn poetry, you can find me. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, y'all can find Timothy on all platforms, too. Just put in Mr. Whispers, no H, W-I-S-P-E-R-S, Whispers, 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 yeah. Y'all going to find some gems of Tim just rocking mics in crowded places.
Yo, this man is a beast. Oh man!
I wish everybody could be with me in 2 weeks, man. If you are in Duncanville, Texas, I will definitely be there on the 22nd and the 23rd. Myself and Miss Yankee from across the pond. Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be
a killer live show. That's a vibe right there.
Woo.
Yeah.
After this one, Tim, the prices go up.
Indeed.
Right.
Today's prices is not the same as yesterday's prices. Oh yeah.
After today, the prices go up. All right, bro. We're going to the speed round, man. We go up here to beast it out with
all right.
If you can make that Wi-Fi hold on just a little bit longer, bro, we'd be in great appreciation and much love to you, Whispers, for hanging around and doing the hard work of actually getting up in here. And then once you got up in here, you stayed up in here. My man, appreciate you.
Amen.
All right. Let's see if we have any more hands up here. Because, oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's go. We got a 445 up in here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what it do, what it do, what it do. Baby, baby.
Baby,
what's
baby.
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
I got my socks off.
Baby, baby. Hey,
what it
I'm
look
loving,
like from
I'm
outside
what
looking
I'm
into here for real.
Man, it's just weird. It's weird being on the other side of it, man. But it's a beautiful thing, man. Catching vibes, you know, holding on to them. I'm loving this interview, you know, getting to know my brother Abraham a lot more, man. It's a beautiful sight, though. It's a beautiful sight, man.
Appreciate you. Abraham, this is for real the poet. I think you guys have met.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, we have.
Yes, oh, I'm a big fan of you. Come on, man. Come on,
Hey, I'm a fan of yours, man. I'm a bigger fan of yours, bro. This interview, man, I didn't know you were born in Africa. I didn't know that. I would never known, you know. And the first piece that you did, it touched me, man. It just made me, you know, took me someplace, you know, hearing what you were saying within that piece. All your pieces are dynamic. You're a unique poet. And so, like I said, I'm a fan of yours, man. And let me give you this question. My question is this. I'm not sure if it's a question. I want to hear, just in case I missed it, I want to hear of when you first put that cape on and transitioned from Abraham to Frequency. What took you there, man? It could frequent. I love that name because if you didn't take it, I would have took it, man. I'm telling you, I love that name. What took you there, man? What led you to Frequency?
Okay, so, good question, man. I've always been intrigued and fascinated with frequencies. Nikola Tesla and the whole shebang, right? But I believe we have to be able to be ourselves, to thy own self be true, right? And that's why I took that name. To thy own self be true. And in order for me to be true to myself, I have to be able to speak my own words. I have to be able to see through my own eyes, not through the eyes of others. And I can't be listening with the ears of others. I can't, you know, and I say that because a lot of people don't know who they are. And I've been there. You know, so
I spell my name. You probably, I don't know if you noticed, but I spelled it FREEQUENSEE. So when we're true to ourselves, we're free. We're free from the bondage of others because we're free to ourselves, right? And when we're free, when we're completely free from the bondage of others, only then can we see the way we're supposed to see. If not, we're being influenced by everybody else. We're not looking through our own eye. And so that's why I spelled it FREEQUENSEE, because I'm free, therefore I see. And I vibrate on my own frequency.
Wow. I would have never thought that, man. Now that you said that and broke it down like that, it makes it even more doper than everything, man. Frequency. Wow.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Hey, man. Thank you, man. I know this is your network, man. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the space you and what you've curated here, and allow me to be able to amplify my voice and let people hear me. So thank you.
Hey, man, it's great to have you, man, and congratulations on being featured, man. Well, excuse me, on being interviewed, you know, over here at the Just Jay and Gina show. It's beautiful, man. Love you, man. Hey, keep up what you're doing, just like your sister said, man. Keep it up, man. Don't stop.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, well.
One love, one mic, bro.
One love.
That's that piece.
Man, appreciate you for coming through, for real, man. Been like a big brother, dude.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Y'all keep up doing what y'all doing, too, man. Y'all bringing great energy up into y'all show, man, on a weekly basis, and it's appreciated, man. Well,
you know what, man, a lot of people come in here and just listen, man. They're not even really interested in grabbing the mic. They're just taking in the value of it, man. We appreciate you for allowing us to go ahead and do this in y'all's spot, you know, small house, and just came and put like a little cubby hole in here, man. We fit just fine into the family atmosphere, man. It's been really I learned a ton, bro. This has been great, man.
Hey, man, there's much room up in the living room for enough of us to be up in here in the community, man, sharing it, man. And it's good to listen sometimes. A lot of us on a daily basis are spitting or giving. It's good to receive, man. That sounds kind of crazy, don't it? But I'm saying, because what I received on tonight, man, was pure good energy, man, and I love it, man. Again, man, cool. I salute my brother Frequency and his pen, man, his art, and the brother that he is. And, you know, that's my piece, man. I ain't going to keep y'all.
Take care, my brother.
Thank you.
Hey, one love, yo.
One mic.
One love, one
all right.
Mic.
We have just a few minutes, Frequency. We're going to go ahead and let you go ahead and get in on this mic, bro. Do this piece that you're going to do. And then if we have some time after the blog talk, lady, then either let her wrath fly by or it be what it be. With that being said, Frequency, sir. The mic is yours.
Have you ever been trapped in a mental prison where the walls were built with poisonous stones, chipped from long-lost pieces of your shattered heart, carved with tearful words of depressing thoughts that should have never been left unspoken? Have you ever been broken? See, I somehow learned to advertise the lies of happiness with fronts of smiles for cries inside. Yet slowly I died the death of living agony. Like suns that set to never rise again, slowly I began to drown from the tormented tears of cries within. Broken moments of unspoken torments tragically turned to torturous components of depression. You see, the saddest thing I ever saw was a man destined to go far, made out of stone, and yet trapped in a glass house. As easily as he could break the glass, he chose instead to break himself, keeping the illusion of happiness alive, only to realize that I am he and he is I, and I could not look him in the eyes. I mean, why risk the surprise of anger and cries to awaken the child that was locked deep inside, disconnected from emotions by oceans comprised of venomous potions, thinking it's easier to numb the pain and hide the wounds than to face the torments causing the harm. You ever watched yourself drown yourself? Slowly exile yourself to the self-pity isle of denial, where self-will runs riot filled with thorns that are constantly watered with the poison of alcoholism that has not only contaminated the child but left the men frozen. Frozen from toxins. Frozen. Often blinding his vision. Frozen. Invading his mind. Reducing ambitions. Leaving him broken, broken severely. Have you ever lost your today to yesterday's misery of hopeless pain and damages of liquid therapy? You see, a child in the face of tormented agony will embrace the call of a mental escape, and mine came in the form of a taste. I chose to ease my pain with the bottle of drunken fate, only worsening the situation, prolonging the duration of this agonizing state. You ever felt the painful, jagged stones of rock bottom on bare floors with shoeless, broken souls in the dead nights of cold as you faced your uncontrollable toll to fight and survive the harsh strikes of life's fist to your soul? Have you battled the voices of two tongues that lives in faith or quit, stand or break, rise or fall? Have you ever been beaten? Beaten by mistakes and shortcomings of your own reasoning? Because I have. Me. I have. And by trusting the process, I learned to see my trauma as part of my bonding process. And I learned to find gratitude in the joy and gift that today brings in came the progress. Rediscovering life in the cocoon of self-love, I slowly armed myself with the key of acceptance, unlocking the vision, freeing the child, rebuilding the man, reversing the torments, combating the ashes that led to depression, climbing out of the mental prison with the sun in my face and wind in my back. I stand under rejuvenating fall of purifying rain like a butterfly wings painted with the muddy grime and stains of the caterpillar's pain to remember the fall and bed of thorns on sleepless nights, to appreciate the rise and shine and light of newfound dreams that are bright. Realizing in life, there are choices. And these choices are based on perspectives. Perspectives depending on mental stages. I evolving on waves of energy by way of mental changes. So I ask again, have you ever been broken? Because I have. But I chose to rebuild. I chose to stand. I chose to rise from the ashes by way of metamorphosis.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our brother from the Small House of Poetry Frequency. Gina, what did you think of that poem, ma'am? By the way, the Blog Talk lady is telling us that we have 30 seconds before the end of the show.
I know, I'm going to go rapidly just in case it's going to be disrespectful and
no,
cut us off.
No, don't rush it, man. We're going to do everything
yeah,
at our
I,
own
what,
time.
What I simply wanted to say is, yeah, I wanted to say to Free before she, you know, turned into what does what she does all the time. I tried to set the show so that it would end at 11 Central Standard Time, but apparently that didn't take. I just wanted to let Free know that's one of my favorite pieces by you. I have been uplifted and inspired by this interview. And if push comes to shove, I will spit my Free piece tomorrow on the Small House of Poetry in the living room.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, sis. I appreciate
you. You're welcome.
You.
I love you, bro. You have been amazing, and this has been amazing, and you gave me life, and I appreciate it.
Hey, y'all made this easy for me, man. This is... Ooh, y'all rolled out
this
the red carpet.
This is what we do, bro.
All I had to do was walk.
This is what we do.
This is dope. I appreciate y'all.
Hey,
go ahead,
Frequency.
Jay.
What's
she didn't cut us off. Go ahead, Jay.
I know. She could be waiting in the weeds, though, but we don't care. We ain't going to rush nothing. We're going to do things how we do things, Gene. We got this. frequency.
Yes, sir.
How has it felt for you to spill your guts out in front of people, how you've done, and with giving us good poetry and good raw emotion and just everything in between, the whole human experience? How do you feel having done that on this scale, bro?
Oh, man, liberated, man. I feel like I lost a few pounds. It's good. It's good. You know, it's very, very therapeutic. And it's a cleansing, man, like you said earlier, you know. And, you know, as a poet, I mean, my poets are narcissistic. I mean, I love having that mic. This is what I love doing. And I get to kill two birds with one stone, man. It's way more than two birds. I get to share my poetry. I always wanted to be heard, right? So I get to share my poetry. I get to do what I love. And I get to free my mind and grow and allow other people to help me grow and to listen to me, to hear me and give me feedback. And yeah, man, this is great. Couldn't ask for more tonight, bro.
We put a Cash App out there too. If you guys really support Pure Poetry, a couple of dollars for what you guys heard tonight. The retention level was so high as far as people coming in and really sitting and enjoying the whole process that we have laid out here for y'all. It is really humbling. It is really, really very humbling that as many people just came in and stayed.
Look, it's
did
humbling
not raise
and
your
encouraging.
Hand. Oh, wow.
It's so nice to see all of y'all listening because that's beautiful. You don't have to raise your hand always because some of the listeners are not poets. But we're just so happy to have you all here.
Yeah, man, I appreciate everyone who stayed, who came, who listened. Believe it or not, you're helping me without even knowing it. I appreciate all of you.
What about the process for getting here, man?
Let me say this. My Shout Family Small House of Poetry. Yo, mad love, man. Let's do it. Let's go, man. This is where we are. Family, my sister, Kara. I'm not sure if the kids are up listening, but this has been dope, man. I appreciate everyone. I'm kind of on the natural high right now. But I appreciate you all.
Hey,
bro, what were you saying?
Oh, yeah.
Where does Small House of Poetry?
I call this Poetry Afterglow. After the show, there's an after party. And you don't have to actually party, but you do feel the glow until the next day. This is after show glow.
It might be for the next couple of weeks, Gina. That's what, some of the other people, they had said it stuck with them for a couple of weeks.
And I appreciate that, too, because it always sticks with us. Jay,
hey, I got a homeboy, Big John. Thank you for listening, yo.
Absolutely. You want to do it? You want to do a speed round? Because she hasn't cut us off.
Yeah, we'll probably get into it. It depends on how many people are going just waiting in the weeds and waiting for us to go ahead and get into that speed round and raise their hand. Because currently we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that we currently be involved, but I think we got some people waiting in the weeds that's going to get up here and they're going to really give this mic a hard time. I tell you what, Frequency. You've been going over these different timelines. Where did Small House of Poetry intersect? Where were you at that point of being Abraham Buddy?
When Small House of Poetry, man,
yes,
yo,
sir.
This couldn't have happened at a better time. I would have blown this, say 5 years, five, six years ago.
I wouldn't have been consistent. I wouldn't have. It would have been so easy to spoil a good thing. I think it all came in together at the right time, man. The right time, you know, coming into Small House of Poetry. You guys already had this family, like, not even like, man, it's family. There's a lot of love in Small House of Poetry, man. And when I came in, there was something that was different from the other houses. Back then, I don't even think there was houses like that. And there wasn't really houses like that, but it was already built in the name, Small House of Poetry. Come on, man. So I don't know if it was you personally, Jared, or a collective, but somebody was ahead of the curve. And it was seamless. It was seamless. And I say this, you have something about you that's very welcoming. And I've seen it with others also, with new people on the app. Like you have a way of making people feel at home from Clubhouse. And you were one of those people that really had me coming back, man, tell you the truth. You know, you would go and sit in rooms and it'll be 20 moderators on stage and there'd be three, maybe five regulars on stage and all the moderators are doing their phones before any of you commenters are doing your pieces, right? It's like what I saw. But it was never like that in Small House of Poetry. It was never like that. So
no.
When I was approached, I never forget, man. And I don't know if you remember, but I told you there was something completely different about y'all than there were, you know, the other houses. And I was definitely, I was down. I believe that was the right decision. And like I said, it's you guys have helped my pen so much. Where I was around the time of, not around the time, I was, it was the right time in the right place, man. And, you know, I can't stress
that. How far
that.
Were you at your sobriety, man?
When I came in, I've been on the app for about a year and a half, maybe. So, like, four years,
oh,
man.
Right.
So yeah, I think it was right. I was ready. For a long time, I was looking for you know, poetry, these poetry groups online, right? I was gonna go do that. And it never worked until years into sobriety. Ain't that something? You know, ain't that something? He was like, nah, you're ready. You're not going to respect it. You're not going to respect it yet. You need to do a little bit more work. And it came at the right time. So, yeah.
You know what, bro? We've been watching you become stronger. You know, like up down at the Small House, anybody can go ahead and take the lead. You have been running with the baton for a minute, bro, in a lot of different directions and a lot of different creative type of avenues. It's been really good to see. It takes the pressure off of everybody else because you're doing it naturally as it's coming to you. And it's been a good way to move the house with, man. We appreciate you agreeing to do this. This was huge for us. We don't know what it was like for you, but when me and Gina had decided to get you in there, we knew how big it was for us. So we appreciate you, bro, on a lot of different levels.
Yes.
Your voice that you've been using has been huge. It's been like a bazooka, man. You need to go back and listen to these to this replay, man. I'm loving every bit of this. That's a you're the reason for the retention here, sir. Don't get it twisted. You're the reason for the retention in here, brother.
Man, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate all of y'all. Appreciate the opportunity. And I am grateful for the opportunity. So this was my pleasure. It's
kidding me? Hey, this was dope.
All right. All right, Gina, do you want to set up the speed round and how you want to do this? I tell you what, before you do that, let me go ahead and do this. Let me do this before you do that, and then we'll go ahead and do that. All right.
That and this center. I like how you did that. Let me go ahead and do this, and then we'll go ahead and do that and take care of that.
And see, the way you did it made it sound like I was trying to do that. All right, we're going to hit them off with a little bit of some of this right here. Wait a minute. Yep, this is it right here.
How do I know y'all a singing group? Why don't y'all sing something?
Oh, my bad. I had myself on mute. Gina, can you set up the speed round for us? That track, it didn't act right.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Just Jay and Gina Show of the Epiphany Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network. Why be ordinary when you can be raw? We're about to go into our speed round. And the way that we're going to do this is don't give an introduction, no name of your piece or what your name is. Just simply spit your piece, land the plane so that the poet after you knows it's their go with in piece, poem, or that's that piece. If you have a signature like Wallace Reed, a.k.a. the Elder, he says the Elder is spoken when he's done. Timothy Whisper says he's whispering loudly. So if you have something like that that you like to end your piece with so that we know that you're complete your piece, by all means, do so, so we can go to the next poet. Just Jay's going to unmute all the mics. It's up to you to unmute yourself and to unmute when you know that it's your time to go. And with that being said, we can get the lineup started and go into our speed round.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best in the biz. The best in the biz, Titan in the house, Gina Storm, everybody. All right, I'm gonna make one augmentation to that, Gina. I'm going to go ahead and open the people mics as it's time for them to go ahead and go. And then that way, when your mic open up
even
in the
better.
Blog talk later, your mic is unmuted, and then you'll know to go ahead and go. We have one, two,
absolutely,
three, four, five people. I'm taking everybody off a mic right now. And we're going to go ahead and do a mic check right quick. Go ahead and share a little bit of side love if we got to and then what may have you.
Yo, yo.
All right, yeah. I'm all available.
Baby, baby.
Mic check. Wait. 1, 2, what is this?
Who is that?
Whispering loudly.
My man. So what I'm going to go ahead and do, I'm going to go ahead and put everybody back on the bench. And then as your mic is pushed and it opens up, then be ready. So far, the lineup is to be starting off with Timothy Whispers. 571. I'm sorry. 571. Do you have a poem that you want to do tonight?
No, I don't know. I don't know how I know. I'm just listening.
All right. I mean, if
you
want to pull me in here.
I was about to say.
Yeah, get it.
I was about to say. Five, nine, one, six,
did you want to find a poem on Google and then read that?
No. I'm just here to listen.
You said you're not being roped in no kind of shape. Fashion or delegation.
Don't
up in here.
No pressure.
I'll open up one of his old poems and read it to you guys.
That was a small house special where we go ahead and just take one person and peer pressure them until they get it right now. Appreciate you, Diamond. I'm going to mute your mic. All right, so that's even shorter rotation than what I thought. Mr. Whispers, you'll be going first. For real, we'll have you after that. Mama Donna, we have you after that. I'll go. Gina will go. And then Frequency will go. All right, let's go ahead and get it done. That being said, Mr. Whispers, sir, the mic is yours.
She called my flow Merlot. She said it sounds finer than that wine she drank. So I dined it with ink. Let it sink into her bosom. No Abraham. And we crammed power between lines. And the signs are all there. And I crumbled her. And she still remains legible. Digestible. So incredible. Her texture carries weight of all kinds. She's significant to most grinds. I can't resist the way she stares. A blank page is her face. Defaced by liquid swords. She holds the cause. And verbal assault felonies pass jealousy like a bad rash. Smash and grab minds like a thug in the night. Unplugged on the mic, and it came from her womb, and she's consumed with the foreplay I provide with my pen on every stroke, giving birth to hope. She deep throats quotes and scriptures, paint pictures for the blind theories, create a series for you to sit calm and watch. Unseen truth unveiled in front of your eyes, yet it's untouchable, like the bond of the Huxtables. Lovable, I try to stay gullible. In her presence, I present the future for what is and what was and what will be written, unsmitten by mighty smiters. She's tickled by highlighters. She's my flow. Her body, these authentic pages, word traveled with no trip, straight hits to your brains, and I'm trained and ordained for this paper ministry. My mama named me Timothy, and my daddy whispered me in her ear. I wrote poetry on my birth certificate. My date of birth is gifted. My flow lays on legal paths, yet it's my pen that breathes. Rebel sperm making metaphors breathe, giving birth to a poem prolifically flowing, growing momentum as it grows. Based and rapping, my voice carries diction, create conviction with its word friction. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound of spoken word when it's heard, and how the tongue tickles words. An unchained flow with no holds bars. I make, take, and heal scars at the same damn time. She sees my flow. Whisper loudly.
Am I black enough? Am I black enough? Am I black enough? Am I black enough to walk these streets in all my blackness without being contested in my blackness, or being accosted by blackness, black on black blackness, harassed by my own blackness? My baby shot dead, his picture posted on a t-shirt that I'll never wear, yet that's not enough. Our black babies' bodies keep piling up. I don't know about you, but I've had enough. See, cause it's either that or I'm being accused by the man in black and blue due to my blackness. I'm black enough. So it seems that in my blackness that I'm black enough to get arrested. Black enough for them handcuffs. See, I'm black enough. I'm black enough to be stopped on the spot, and ain't no question in the fact that I'm black enough to be shot, with my hands up. I'm black enough. While they murder us, murder us, murder us, it's murder us, and it's on cameras, and I've had enough. See, I'm black enough. I'm black enough to be tried and judged without a trial. Black enough. I'm black enough where the judge can afford to look the other way. See, I'm black just enough where the crimes against me is just hearsay. My black mother's tears unheard, my pain unfounded, but just right, for American justice. See, I'm black, so I'm judged like this. Black treated like shit. I'm black, so I fit the criteria, like a Slipknot, and so I'm left with this judgment. And I'm black enough. I guess I'm just blessed to see a courtroom and a judge, because I could have been marked by some chalk yellow outlining in the street. Blood leaving out of my black enoughness, leaking black enoughness. I could have my breath squeezed out of my chest, marked for death for selling loose cigarettes. I could be maimed or scarred or shot for wearing a hoodie and pulling sang out a candy bar. I can't breathe in my blackness. I can't breathe in my blackness. See, I'm black like this. I was born like this. I'm the darkest black in my blueness. I'm black enough. I'm purple. Did I mention that this is for real? The poet blacklisted, and I'm riding a spiritual rainbow over lands crooked and hollow in my blackness, over egotistical mentals, governmentals possessed by the shallow. I'm riding a spiritual rainbow over lands divided by division, catapulting high above tainted religion and corrupt politicians. I'm in my blackness. I'm the blackest. I'm the holder of the blackest ass that you can kiss in the business. You treat dogs and foreign citizenships with love, but my blackness, fuck this government and every police department. I'm praying and spreading love and band-aids for those who take part in this, those that look like me that share the same blackness, those cut by this world's incisions who bleed out blood out of the streets of misgivings, unjust busy bees who pollinate the spread of hate and man-made disease, preaching go green, but they've cut down every tree and ruined the roots of plenty. I'm on a spiritual rainbow in search of my ancestry, my lineage in my blackness, while they're more concerned about a dog's pedigree. My blackness shall never be righteous, no matter the likeness, no matter the likeness. You can be a red bone, you can be a red bone, but you'll never see justice. Did I mention that I'm for real, melanated human made of steel? I wear a cape laced with faith, and I'm able to walk over water when I take my socks off in my blackness, socks stained by this world's waste. I'm for real, and I'm black, too black in my blackness. See, this shit don't crack, and this world can kiss the back of my black ass through the stains of my melanated blackness. Sink or swim or blood out in the streets. If you look like me, it's like this. Unless you're Harry Potter and you possess a magic wand, a four-leaf clover, a unicorn's horn, a rabbit's foot, or can pull one out of a hat. See, I ain't Shazam, and I ain't got no S on my chest, but I be damned, I'm blessed with integrity, and at birth I was given a master's degree in being black and my blackness. Blacklisted, black bald, black male, black jack, blacked out, black eyed peas, and black jelly beans on Black Friday. Oh, did I mention that I'm for real? And I'm riding on this spiritual rainbow in my blackness, high above the clouds with a cape laced with faith, and I'm black and I'm proud, and I can walk over water when I take my goddamn socks off in my blackness. Am I black enough? Am I black enough? Am I black enough? I'm blue black. I'm true black. I'm so black that you can see my shadow in the dark. I'm darkness, and I'm that damned black. But am I black enough? When will I ever be black enough? When will I be black enough? God created me black, sure enough, but it seems that I won't be black enough until my black ass is in that casket. Lights out, covered in blackness, exterminated like roaches, left dead by killers with badges. Blackness, black as ashes. I be black enough. I'm black enough. I'm black enough. But I'll never be black enough. I'll never be black enough until I'm dropped in that basket. See, I'm black enough. I'm black enough. I'm black enough. But when will I ever be black enough for justice? Black enough for real.
I'm trying to write a new piece while listening to others spit. I hear a phrase from another poet that catches my ear. As I struggle to write from an original thought process, unconsciously it gets incorporated into this struggle piece. Distracted by the talent, I want to write just like them. Where did this thought come from? The more I hear, the more I admire all the poet's style. I like what he just did with his alliteration. Let me try what he did. Petty Princess Patty poisoned her cat Penelope for pissing on her pudding. Is this how it's done? I don't know. If I start spouting an alliteration formulated after listening to his piece, am I a copycat? I like what she did with her word scheme. She had people listening intently. I'm going to write like her. This is a random thought. Her style is inserting its influence into my pen. Where has my unique personality gone? I start to sound like a bargain carbon copy of another. I fear any originality has been lost. Is this the start of my copying journey? Don't get me started on the cadence. I want to sit with fire and power. I can't, though, so I practice in the mirror to imitate how they speak. What the hell is going on? Some changes are not obvious, at least not to me. To others, whispers are forming among the poet community. She stole my piece. She stole my style and cadence. It sounds so familiar. She didn't credit that sentence or piece to the creator. She copied me. The ugly accusation has emerged. Plagiarism. How do I counter the accusations? I don't think I can. Isn't copying a form of flattery? I was always told that. I don't mean to copy you. Or did I? I guess. We will never know. That's the wisdom of Mama Donna.
What is a frequency? Well, frequencies move like oceans and seas, flying high and low, over and under, through and in between. Frequencies can be the remnant of energy extended. The story is written into the waves. Sound and matter moves in the high and low peaks and valleys, vibrating and reflecting, obscuring and revealing, creating and destroying, breaking down and breathing. And all this is happening at the speed of light. A frequency tells its stories in between its highs and lows, the distance in between the peaks. These oscillations proclaim the temporal and eventual happenings as a birth certificate, mapping why and where. A herald of an era, speaking in echoes, resonating in the stream, rippling through time, like water, raining like diamonds, devoid of photons, while shaking the universe. And maybe this is what a frequency is. Boom.
I just want to be free. F-R-E-E. See, I recall my first encounter with frequency and parts of his childhood resonate with me. Family members and I were attending assemblies and conventions, singing from songbooks, going weekly, traveling from door to door in field service, weekly meetings in the theocratic ministry school, being a decent human and an unbaptized publisher. Our church friends would see how we differ, but Abraham and I were more alike than different. Needing mandatory, not optional. See, this has been educational. Seems like yesterday, but it's been almost 2 years ago, and it seems like a lifetime ago. In my memory, I still remember my awe from hearing his flow. I'm an MC who dreams of rap being my destiny. I knew he'd relate. Bars are bars, no doubt. He was one of the dopest lyricists I'd ever heard. Word. Next level, vocabulary and cadence unparalleled, immaculate and superb. My chest would swell, pride taking over, too deep to reach with the shovel. I was in the small house streets freestyling until my small house family asked me to try picking up my pen again so I could start writing. The very thought was frightening. I was cheered on by my little bro frequency. The encouragement was amazing, pen blazing. See, drinking once dulled my pain, too. Smoking would calm me also. So I would inhale, but exhale with no choking, and it made me whole again. See, my buddy, B-U-D-Y, beyond mere friend, yet I stay scrambled in my thoughts. The noise in my brain couldn't win. Most are beast. And I know that that wouldn't be fun. Yet still, my voice was never silenced and it remained. I set aside my go-to and occasionally key-styled. That would be me reading a piece around the piece that I wrote previously, and sometimes I would freestyle the additions or the extractions that I need to be made. I would do that a time or maybe five. But did I die? No, I'm still alive. So I'm knowing that my pen and my voice were both going to be strong. See, he apparently had to let me see that I am too. And I assure you, still, I'm styling free right now, not just freestyling for my small house sibling, free. Because one thing for certain, two things that I know, that he understands me. In peace.
So, Melody of My Soul serenades me. It elevates me. Keeps me warm when life is cold, sings to me. Beautiful songs. Waking me to the tunes of voices from my ancestors' ancient lungs. Vocalizing memories clear and strong as anchoring stones, echoing sounds that quenches the thirst of my spirits like waters deep within the marrows of my bones. Heavy is this majestic melody, like hums and scats of remedies and frequencies of Marley's skibba-dibba-dubba-dib, repeatedly, and carried through the passage of time, steadily celebrating each and every existing cell in me, properly and eagerly activating my energy, like seeds of roots planted in the soil of existence. This tradition, this celebration, is genetically made to endure, withstand, and remain pure as the flame of faith that dance and burns in mental waves of musical roads, paves the bridge, the gap, surviving the test of time, flowing through generations nonstop, keeping its beat like finger snaps and toe taps. The harmony within my majestic melody just won't stop. It's authentic. Phenomenally artistic. God made this, man hate this, some pray this breaks, but dig this, it's deeper than they could fathom, more enhanced than they could ever comprehend, so make no mistake, it's different and far more intricate than lies of their sci-fi, egotistical, unrealistic satires, more exquisite and enriched with taste that dominates their mythological mystics of man-made ideologies. No falsified philosophies can out-tune my melody. This melody, the melody of my soul, fantastic. Well polished with characteristics of being holistic, prolific, sophisticated, impossible to be outdated, simplistic, yet complicated. Only duplicated by those related to this soulful melodic solace of colossus. Melanated forces of purpose and surplus with the focus on the nature of my vibration. See, I walk with rhythm. I speak in rhythm. My very being. Existence is vibrant, so even my silence has its own defining presence in essence. I'm rhythm, made from powers of higher wisdom, towering over your ears. The melody of my soul sings the songs of memories, like symphonies played with notes of harmony on strings and chords, strummed from my stroll and stride with pride, putting joy in motion, fly as the pep in my step, smooth as the way I move to the beat of my own drum, I groove. Rhythm, baby. Rhythm. My mentality, aura, and ambiance surpasses any science. In these trying times, my melody is my defiance to this system of ignorant compliance, keeping me aligned with that which flows through this temple of mine. My DNA holds a message, mimicking music, making me move like Mike did. Moonwalking madly, mentally enabling me to move mountains, raise valleys, and generate hope that's more precious than diamonds and gold, bright, beautiful, and bold. No words could truly capture its meaning in full. So as Marvin once put, da 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 da. Beautiful. It's the majestic, musical, melanated melody of my soul. Thank you.
All right, everybody. I'm about to open everybody's mic up. This is incredible. Down from the first on down to the last. For real, I seen you clowning up in there. I ain't going to say nothing, though. You.
Yo, for real, got the refrains on off. Yo, this was a dope speed round.
Yes.
For real was going in.
Hey, you know, I pray to be that black.
Yo.
I want to know, am I black? I want to know, am I black enough now?
Oh, y'all.
That may have been the
enough.
First piece I heard him do back when I first heard him.
Look, I'm not even close
Man.
To that black.
Yeah,
say,
yeah,
I ain't the older clue. Big, never really blackest ass you can kiss.
Hey, Frequency, man. I wanted to do something for you, right? But all my pieces is long as hell. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't want to take up all the space, but, man, I wanted to do that one for you, man. I cut it short, though.
Man, yo, I love that piece. Yo, the refrain. Yeah, man. Yeah,
hey, everybody
man.
Killed it, man. It was beautiful. I love it.
Whisper.
Oh yeah, Whisper got
yeah,
me hyped,
Whisper
man. Whisper, I was like, oh shit.
Yo.
He got me really hyped, man.
He got us all hyped, man.
That was beautiful though, y'all. I really loved it, man. I hope the frequency I hope you had a good time tonight, brother. You deserve it.
Oh man, I had a blessed time, man. This was amazing. Yeah. This was dope. Appreciate everyone here. Shop Family, the For Real Network, and everyone who just came, chilled, listened, vibed with us. You brought energy. Believe it or not, you brought the energy with you, too. So, thank you.
I'd also like to remind people to hit that Cash App. I know it's something weird as far as this end of it. Give it a shot, $2 or $3. You know, if you got $1 million, you ain't got to send them the whole million. Just, you know, make it respectable.
Hey, I appreciate everyone.
Don't make me look
bad.
Right.
Putting their pockets on the spot. What you got there, son?
Yeah.
Everybody yeah, living from payday to payday. We know how it goes.
We understand, but $2 or $3 get messed over in a heartbeat. Like don't leave the
and
house. $2 or $3 don't fall
please
out.
No.
And then his buddy's gonna be
right. I probably lost $2 on the couch today. Right.
Oh man, you didn't even leave the house.
I did. I went to my house and I came back. Stop playing. I went outside.
Oh yeah, I did. Oh, we did the IG Zoom, the family Zoom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, man, this was the move.
You survived it,
Bree. You know what?
It came
I
at
did.
The right time. It came at the right time, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sure did, man.
That's yeah. Full circle now, man. That's you're a triple threat now. You're a walk-in movie. After today, the prices go up.
Boy, I'm about to be backing out. I got witnesses. Yeah, I was on. Come on, man. What? I got sound bites for you. Listen to this. I was, man.
I'm killing it. Mangling it.
Yeah.
I wish
man.
Thank y'all. 3, 4, 7 would press.
I just gotta put this I gotta put this out there for y'all that wasn't paying attention. When he said doo 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 doo, my mama threw her hand in the air. That's just like
yeah.
Music. That's her jam. She loves Eric
you know,
B. Rakim. Look, she loves Eric B. and Rakim and she also loves Marvin Gaye, and as far as she was concerned, you was talking to her. So my mama.
Hey, that was man. That's real right there. I handed to Marvin in there.
My mama went hype. Yeah. I was like, wow. He just put he just put the jumbo cables on my mama. Mama, I thought
hey,
she was almost
asleep. Thank you,
mama.
Thank you, mama.
Absolutely.
Hey yo, you can't talk about soul and melody without referencing Marvin. Marvin said, "Music is the soul of a." Come on, man.
Woo, right.
Yeah. My mother told me when I was a small child. Mind you, she was married to my daddy. That had he lived, she would have married Marvin Gaye. You know what I was thinking? If Marvin Gaye was my daddy, oh my God, you wouldn't be able to say nothing to me.
Right. Marvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, that was a whole
remember,
lot. Right
I remember
there,
my
y'all.
sister got an autograph from Marvin Gaye.
It was signed on the back of a blank check. And she lost that thing. Yep.
Oh, you said this before, too. Yeah.
Oh, no.
On the back of a blank check.
That makes me remember a time that I was living in New Jersey at the time, and I had went by Queen Latifah's spot, and Naughty by Nature was there, and she introduced me to Heavy D. And all I could think was, ooh, let me get a picture. But I had my Polaroid out in the car, and I took this snapshot. And to this day, I don't know what happened to that picture. And then Hev passed away, and all I could think was, damn, I wish I still had that. And not so much because he had died, but because that whole time in my life was a vibe. So I understand what your sister is going through because, my God. You can't never get that again. If it's lost, it's lost.
Right.
I was a hip-hop head when I didn't realize that one day hip-hop was going to turn 50 and people would still be listening. So I felt what you said, Free, when you were saying that, you know, you still had that rap cadence when you came in the clubhouse. Jay had it, and so did I. We both had to shake it off and just be poets.
Yeah, sometimes they try to jump out, though, don't they? They'd be like, booyah!
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
But
you
right now,
you can go right back there.
Yeah, when you get so much experience, though, you can go and pat the gas on and put it exactly where you needed it, and it sounds good. It's a good thing, though. Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. You can bob and weave with it. Slide in, slide, you know. It's, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely
element.
A good fallback.
They're like, damn, you heard that part? Yeah, yes, sir. All right. Well, we're about to go ahead and shut this down, partner. Gina, how you doing tonight? How you hold it like behind all of this that went on tonight?
Oh, this has been so great that I felt like, this was one of the best Saturdays I've probably had in a very long time. And we do this every other Saturday. Not to say that any others weren't as epic as this one. It was just more personal, I think, because Free is small house as well. And not only that, but his story is so dope. It needed to be heard. And by his biological sister being here, you know, because he adopted me. But DNA family ain't nothing like that. Like I said, when I'm here with my mom and they're in the background and hyped, it gives me an incentive to continue to move forward. So for me, this was epic, and I enjoyed myself.
Yeah. The evolution of Free has been its own ride, you know what I'm saying? Frequency, man, the things that you have been doing, sir, have been exemplary, bro. We just know this frequency here. You tell us about, you know, another time, but this frequency right here is the only frequency we know. So you can go ahead and continue to tell us about that, but this is the only thing we have to work with. This is the baseline right here. The finished product is something of beauty, sir. You give of yourself.
Thus far.
Thus far.
I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're still working on it.
We're all a work in progress, though, man. That's the best part about it. And we're using that to be our strength. As you know, we overcome these little small things, man. It's not just one person's victory. It's everybody's victory. That's the fuel in the small house. The way we keep going, the way we keep re-energizing myself, man. And you have been exemplary as far as carrying this house for long periods of time, man. So we appreciate you, brother.
Man, I appreciate all y'all. Yeah, man. One hand washes the other, right? The whole idea.
For sure. For sure. All right, well, we about to go ahead and shut her down, y'all. This has been great. This has been Epiphany Radio. We have been doing a partnership, Gina Storm and myself, representing the Small House of Poetry. It's been an excellent partnership for us. It's been very reciprocal. There has not been an imbalance in any type of way. That's due to the leadership that's over here at Epiphany. They've always been straight up with us. They've always let us go ahead and do as we will over here, and we've been very conscious to not do anything to harm this brand. So we've just been trying to add to it with things like we had Gwen C. here. Gwen C. was very impactful. We had Janice here. Very impactful, very small voice, but very, very impactful in so many different ways. We had the doctor here, Russ Livingston. You know, we're working hard to bring you guys the best content that we can go ahead and bring you guys. We're bringing you guys people that are emerging. We're bringing people that are emerging in here. We're bringing people that can go ahead and help with lifestyle. Therapeutic, as our brother Frequency had told us today. You know, whatever you need it to be, it's going to be exactly that. We try to keep the confusion away from us because confusion kills creativity. We appreciate everybody who has been rocking with us to help us build this show from the ground up. And that's exactly what's been happening. It's been the people that who have been calling in, the people who have been supporting us in the back, all those different type of things. Those are what are truly shaping the show. That's how we built Small House of Poetry. To answer Frequency's question, I think it was, I thought of Small House of Poetry because I thought that it wouldn't work. So if it didn't work, it was going to be no big thing. So it was humble, out of fear that it would not work. So I just called it the Small House of Poetry because it was nothing but Goliath houses that were out at that time. One of the things from the platform that we supported, that there should be more Small House of Poetry. And we didn't ever hesitate to put our formula out there. Our formula is, you know, we just want good people. We just want good people who are moving in a direction that will be feasible for everybody, that will be profitable for everybody. When we added Frequency in, it was at a special time. A very special time. We were actually looking for somebody, and we found Frequency and then one other person. Frequency had more of a Rat Pack background at that time, so we weren't choosing Frequency because Frequency was just the dopest poet. We chose Frequency because Frequency was a real person. That was the only requirement. We know everything from there would take care of itself. Mama Donna, we didn't choose Mama Donna because she was a dope poet. She wasn't even a poet at the time. But being around us and us being encouraging, and then when she would have her victories, those became our victories. So it was a compersion type of thing. It was we were finding joy from what each other were doing. This can be done among little small micro communities all throughout here. Frequency is proof that it works on such a high level. Frequency has been carrying Small House for a minute. For a minute. Everybody wants to hear about Frequency. And we finally lined up a time and how you guys showed up in masses, how you guys showed up and participated. It showed that this guy right here, he has a voice. He has a resonance. He has a frequency. We appreciate y'all for coming out here tonight and checking out the Just Jay and Gina show. Much love to y'all. Our sponsor is Raw Links. I'd like to go ahead and give up for Raw Links as well for doing everything they've been doing to make sure these doors and these lights stay on. Epiphany Radio, we appreciate y'all for giving this platform. Gina and myself for giving us this platform. This has been a huge opportunity for us. We appreciate that we're able to contribute something of value the same way Epiphany has been doing for us. With that being said, this room, this house, this radio show will be closing down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.